Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. It's time for Dave's Got Guests. Well, one guest, but he's multi-talented, so I pluralize him. He's been on the show a few times. He may be, in fact, the guest I've had most on the show. He's certainly one of the voices you will hear most on this radio station because he's got Your World on Sunday nights at 7, and then he's got kind of a later gig that night, a looser show at 10, and he has been doing some other shows at other times during the week. I can't even count them. I don't even know when they're on.
They're all on my website, all of them.
See, he talks even before I fully introduce him. There can only be one person. It can be the one, the only, my good friend and my colleague, Joe Salzo. Welcome, Joe.
Well, Dave, thanks for having me. Thanks for dragging me out of Manhattan.
On a stormy Thursday day.
It's like 112 degrees in the studio, but that's our problem, not you.
Well, because we had to turn off all the electric equipment, and we heard these beepings coming through. We thought the board was zapped. Anyway, we've got so much to cover, so let's get right into it. First, let's politics, because your program is political from a somewhat conservative and adorable perspective. Joe got angry because I always refer to him as a conservative talk show host.
He's always a right-wing guy. You know, I have more. There's more to me than my politics.
More facets, like adorable and sensual.
Yes.
That'll do. And white. You're white.
I'm very white. I'm the whitest guy in the room.
You're
Jewish. You got that Jew tan.
You're actually gone for 2 minutes before bringing up the Jewishness. Thank you, Joe.
This is your world now, apparently.
All right, here we go. It's time to talk about, politics then. Mm-hmm. Reagan, dead. Still dead. 93 years old.
He's still dead, don't
he? Even his funeral is still going on, I think, at this point. What did you think of him?
He's my first role model in life, actually.
Not your dad?
My dad is up there, but Ronald Reagan, a lot of my ideology is based on Ronald Reagan's presidency. You know, I was only 4 years old when he was reelected in 1984. I was just born in 1984.
So really, by the time he was out of office, you were 4 years old, and he's your biggest role model?
Well, you know, it was after his time in office that I read about him, read what he did, read what he stood for. You might not have agreed with him. I doubt you agree with most of what he did, but he was, by all estimations, a nice man. And you don't see that in politics. Politics now, we're so polarized in this country, like 50% liberal, 50% conservative. He was really a uniter and not a divider.
He was a personable fellow, and I have to admit, I've changed a little bit of my feelings about him. There was a terrific documentary on public television. It was nonpartisan. It was not Fox. It was not. And you would figure public television would go for a liberal slant. It was quite a pro-Reagan documentary in the sense of really showing how personable he was, how intelligent he was, clever, good with people. And it didn't negate some of the things. I mean, it certainly said that he did not really care about AIDS. He did not do the right thing by that. He did not.
Well, keep in mind, back then, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions, as there still are, about AIDS.
Yeah.
If a Democrat had been.
Can you get it from doorknobs or not?
I don't know. I've never been in the room with a lot of AIDS patients. And I try to keep it that way because I don't know if it's contagious. It's like the common cold.
It's contagious in one way.
And don't, you know, stop with your emails right away, all right? As soon as this segment is over, I'm going to open up my computer if the storm is, like, allowing me to use my computer at all. And all sorts of hate mails. And
most of them from me. So,
right. You hear the thunder in the background. Because we're actually outside now.
We shouldn't really do this in the rain.
We shouldn't, no? Well, you like to sing in the rain.
But he also went through the Iran-Contra thing and really tried to explain step by step. It's the first time I've ever understood it.
Well, you know what? The thing about Ronald Reagan is you could debate his politics and his policies, but it's kind of hard to think of, and there are other Reagan haters out there, but it's hard to think of something to say bad about the man himself and the person he was.
Well, he could be very stubborn and he could get stuck in, especially later in life when he was getting older and it was just beginning of the onset of the Alzheimer's, although they may not have called it then. So, yeah, I mean, he was on a radio interview at one point and he went through this story. And, you know, they got to the end of the interview, and he's, you know, thank you, President. And then he said, I just want to say one more thing. And he ended up repeating the entire story, not remembering that he had just told it 5 minutes ago.
Well, that's dizzy. If it's true, I don't know if it's true or not, but that's sad.
Yeah. That's not a bad person thing.
What's so amazing to me about Ronald Reagan and his legacy is, you know, when he passed away, he was out of out of public office for 15 years, out of the public eye for 10 years, and yet you still see all of this outpouring of emotions and grief. I have to say, you know, when I heard the news, as much as we all knew the day was coming, it still came as such a shock,
I think, really?
To me.
Oh.
It did, because, you know, again, I'm a conservative. I'm adorable, but I'm a conservative. And I got this from a lot of my conservative audience, my conservative friends, is we never really imagined, and this might sound kind of cheesy, but we never really imagined a time where Ronald Reagan would not be alive. It was kind of hard to picture.
Kind of like Bob Hope and George Burns in a way.
Yeah. It was kind of hard, and it's still kind of hard to realize that he's not around anymore. I mean, he's still with us. But he's not there.
Do you think we'll feel the same way? And this is sort of pushing the topic into the second question about Bill Clinton, whose book is coming out imminently, almost 1,000 pages of it.
I'm trying to look at that as fair as I can. I don't think there will be. I think he's got a strong base, strong and loyal base. Every president has their very strong, loyal base. But the difference, one of the many differences between Reagan and Clinton is, you know, Reagan was able to transcend both liberal and conservative. I don't think Clinton was able to reach. He touched a nerve.
No, he certainly did not.
But he did not cross over. I don't think there will be a
Are you a Clinton hater, or are you just enlightened, or where are you on his legacy?
I think his legacy is not going to be positive. Forget about the impeachment, because I think that whole thing was ridiculous.
That was nonsense. Yeah.
I don't think he's going to have a strong legacy. You know, he can spin it any way he wants.
Well, the economy was quite strong for 8 years.
It was much stronger in the 80s. You know,
during the Reagan.
Let me give you an example. Someone I've talked to many times, Neil Cavuto, managing business editor for Fox, he has said, you know, deficits in the long run don't mean a thing. We had an amazing economy in the 80s, and the deficits were, as you know, one of the guys around here would say, they were as long as the days are long.
Okay.
You know, the same thing with in the 90s. But the big difference is the economy in the 90s was not real. It was all a bubble. And we saw that in the latter part of the 90s, early part of this decade, where we saw the dot-com bubble burst.
Okay.
It was not, the whole Clinton economy did not exist.
Oh, I see what you mean. So when that came, but now we still have the deficit and we have a crappy economy.
We're always going to have a deficit. We don't have a crappy economy.
Okay.
Yeah, people. A lot of people don't have jobs, but a lot more people do have jobs. There have been more.
But are they making enough to pay for every? For
2 million jobs have been created in the last year and a half, which is considering 9/11, two wars, Afghanistan, Iraq. The economy is doing pretty damn good considering all things.
All right, I wish I could banter more and more about this, but there was one third topic that I wanted to get to you. There's kind of an announcement you wanted to make. And it's not a joke, and it's not whatever. It's a bit of a shock. And,
well, it's a big of a shock to everyone. Not a shock to me. I was diagnosed recently with multiple sclerosis, MS to some people. I feel like I've had to explain this story to so many people over the last few days.
Well, but there are millions of listeners listening to my show right now, so this will take care of all those phone calls.
Well, I hope so, at least.
Yeah.
It's essentially a nerve disease. I'll give you an example. You know how you know, you're able to move any part of your body you want without without even thinking about it. People with MS, we don't have that ability. I'll tell you what my doctor told me. I will have my good days, and I'll have my bad days. As we're taping this now, this is a bad day. You know, my feet have swelled up. It's hard to walk. It's really hard to keep a balance. Even sitting here, I'm kind of gripping the table so I don't fall out of my chair.
Are you for real? I thought you were just... Oh.
It's something I've had, according to the doctors, for the last year.
Well, what made you go to a doctor? What made you think...
Honestly... And I didn't know this after reading Neil. I mentioned Neil Cavuto before.
Yeah,
he wrote this book. He survived cancer. He was diagnosed with MS in 1997, a year after going to Fox. And he, you know, reading his book, it was so inspirational. It moved me to a point where I wanted to look into my family history, and I found that MS is big in my family. So I went to the doctor, got some early blood worked on, and they said I'm basically in the early symptoms of it. But as I understand, there are 5 different versions of MS. There is the most serious kind, which I don't have. I have the weaker kind, whereas I explained to you off the air, Dave.
But I never remember anything.
Of course. It's not going to kill me, but it is going to make my life more difficult than it is now. You know, it's like, for example, I woke up the other morning, my right arm, I could not move it. It was bent. Or excuse me, it wasn't bent. I could not bend it at all.
So your brain could not tell your arm what
was,
to do.
I was telling my, mentally I was telling my arm, move. But my brain was not giving that signal to the arm, and that's what MS is. It's, I could be coming out of a car, just stepping off the curb, and my legs will freeze. And there's nothing you can do about it. You just...
You wait until...
You have to wait, and it could take hours.
So is it going to be degenerative for the rest of your life, or is it going to stay at a certain
that's
level?
That's hard to tell. There's medications out there that helps to stem the development of it, but once you have it, it progressively will get worse. It's something, look, you know...
So how are you going to treat it? I mean, are there medicines? Are there walking with a cane? I don't know.
Will be days where you might see me around here and I might have to have a cane with me. Mm-hmm. There might be days where I'm just not going to be able to come here.
Right.
That's a reality I've already had to face. It's not something that I really wanted to have, but, you know, I can tell you, in all honesty, I was, a long time ago, before I had this, resigned to whatever my fate would be. There's no... I'm angry about it. But that's a natural reaction, I imagine. But, you know, I'm still going to do my job to the best of my ability. I'm still going to come on here every Sunday night at 7, still talk to you, still hang out with my friends. There's just certain things I won't be able to do anymore. And you know, I could stay bitter, but I don't want to, because I still want to...
Bitterness is my job.
Exactly. You're the bitter. I'm the young, you know, relatively handsome guy. You're the balding... George stocky man, yes.
Yeah,
I was not going to use the word...
Stocky?
You're stocky.
I'm not stocky.
You got that George Costanza look going.
Oh, thanks. Well, gee, that ends this interview. Actually, also, we're running out of time. So I want to thank Joe, and I want to wish you, certainly, of course, best of luck.
Thank you.
You're going to take a couple of weeks off, kind of a vacation
for
July.
I'm gone for all of July.
But you've prepared some shows for the people who
will be listening. We have a lot of fun stuff coming up in July on Your World. And actually, a format change coming up. So, you see, I'm still working hard. Format change coming up soon. More news, less opinion.
More news, less opinion.
Changing the show's name, too.
What's it going to be?
Still deciding that. We're leaning towards News Tonight.
All right. Kind of generic. Work on it. Work on it. And we'll be working on the rest of this episode of Dave's Gone By. After thanking Joe Selzone, thank you very much, man.
Thank
you. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Right after this.